Well, today I'm addressing our finances as part of the high definition living series that we've been doing. And there's a lot of confusion around this topic. When a person hears a pastor talk about finances, usually their eyes start looking elsewhere. They start shifting in their seats. Papers start to rustle and they start to sweat a little bit. Maybe the mouth starts to feel a little dry. But God's plan for you is for you to understand His plan for your financial life. Please hear me say that. God's plan for you is for you to understand your finances from His perspective. Did you know that there are over 2,300 scriptures in the Bible? 2,300 scriptures that deal with money or possessions. To be more accurate, there are 2,350 references in the Bible, which is twice as many as deal with faith and prayer combined. That should give us pause. There are double the amount of verses dealing with our material goods than those which deal with faith and prayer combined. 15% of everything that Jesus had to say has to do with money or possessions. As a matter of fact, Jesus talked more about these subjects than he did about heaven or hell combined. Why is that? Why is that true? Because there's a fundamental connection between a person's spiritual life and their actions regarding their money and their possessions. The two go hand in hand. Money, as we all know, is important. We would all agree with that, right? Everyone nod your head. Yes, money is important. Good. If you have a lot of money is important. If you don't have a lot of money is important. It was a motivational speaker, Zig Ziglar, who once said, "Money isn't everything, but it's right up there with oxygen." Sounds about right to me. And I don't know how you are when you deal with your money, but let me ask you, see if any of these quotes rings true. One man said, "I'm having a hard time these days reconciling my net income with my gross habits." Does that sound right? Or it was comedian Henry Youngman who said, "I have all the money I need if I die by 4 o'clock tomorrow." Or writer Robert Orban who said, "Every morning I get up and I check Fortune's richest Americans, and if I'm not on the list, I go to work that day." Wherever you are when it comes to money, we all could use a little help addressing these issues in our lives, how to handle our finances. Well, the sermon series is named High Definition Living, based on Jesus' words from John chapter 10. He said that the reason he came was to give us abundant life, a life that is more than the status quo, a life that is brighter and bolder and a better life. We've been learning that you and I, we are significant to God. He cares about what happens to you, and He cares about how you handle the things He gives to you, and how you interact with other people. And so today we're going to look at finances from God's perspective. So how does a person approach their finances from the perspective of high definition living? Well, to answer that, I'd like to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about God's plan for your financial life. Here are some thoughts on what the Bible says. High definition finances means living debt-free for the rest of your life. Think about that, debt-free. High-definition finances means having enough savings to cover you for 6 months in the event of a loss. High-definition financing means giving God the first 10% of your income and then learning to live off of the rest. High-definition finances is not having to live from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. High-definition finances means being free from the pull of materialism and learning to be content with what you have instead of what you don't have. High-definition finances is being able to give generously without a second thought to the things that you believe in or you desire to support. You see, God desires for you and for me to live that kind of financial life and to do so much more. In summary, high-definition finances is living life from God's perspective in all areas of your life. So let me ask you this, as you reflect this morning on your own finances, and you think about the last year, would you say that in general you're gaining altitude Or would you say that you're losing altitude? Would you say that your financial life is getting better? That you're able to put more aside? Do you have less debt this year than you had at the beginning of last year? Have you put more money into retirement? Are you getting some of your goals taken care of? Do you know where you're spending your money? Do you have answers to key questions? And so if you can say yes to any of those questions, then I would just encourage you this morning, take a pen out of the pew in front of you and just draw an up arrow on your bulletin. Just draw a little up arrow. Or maybe when it comes to your finances, you say, well, I'm actually losing altitude. You know, I'm not able to pay off the school loans quite as quickly as I thought. Or I'm not able to fill out that application for the credit card. You haven't put away as much as you would hope this past year. You've had to dip into your savings a little bit just to maintain. Maybe you just say in general your financial life over the last year is losing altitude. And so then it's okay. Just put a little down arrow. Or maybe you look to the person to your left or to your right and you say it's their fault that I'm not having any success. And you draw an arrow to the side. That's okay too if you need to do that. But, you know, whichever way your arrow goes. But here's the thing. For most of us, we probably don't know whether to put an up arrow or a down arrow. Those questions are not easy questions I just asked. We have a hard time because we don't like to put a lot of thought into thinking about our financial life. It's scary. Most of us, we put off our finances. We take them and we put them in the far-off corner of our lives. And we hope that everything's going to work out okay. And so we never really give serious thought to our finances. But as I said in the beginning of this message, the Bible places an inordinate amount of emphasis on our finances, on our material things, on our possessions. I mean, a ridiculous amount of scripture is pointed towards this topic. And so I want us to reach into that back corner of our lives and pull these things out to the front a little bit. Let's try and get a handle on our financial life today from God's perspective. If you'd like to, you can turn with me to 1 Timothy. And I know the bulletin just says Timothy, but it's 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 17 through 19. And that's found on page 1851 of your pew Bibles if you wanted to turn there. And so as you do, let me pray for our time together and for this reading of Scripture. Lord God, thank you for your word. We thank you that it is something that challenges us to do better. It encourages us in our faith. And Lord, you change us to look more like you. And so God, that's what we're here to do today. So Father, we pray for this time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the verses that we're going to look to here, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. And this passage summarizes a lot of the major teachings of the entire Bible with respect to finances. So I want to look at this passage for a minute, and then I want to unpack a few elements of the verse. You can follow along with me if you want, and I would ask you to keep your finger in the Bible after we're finished reading this, because I'm going to point back to this passage a couple of times. So read this with me. Paul chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Doesn't that sound like high-definition living to you? I mean, right? High-definition living, taking hold of life that is truly life. God is giving us the key to that right here. So here are some key points I'd like us to pay attention to in this amazingly clear, bold, and refreshing statement from God. The first one is this. You are rich. I know you don't feel rich. It doesn't sound like that should be true, but you are rich. You may not feel that way. I know there are times where I don't feel that way. But hear me on this. Paul begins this passage by saying to the church, command those who are rich. And all of us in this room today, by the very fact that we are here today, by the fact that when you leave here this afternoon, you're going to go home and you're going to have a meal around a table. By the fact that you have a place to lay your head tonight and you have a place to sleep in the warmth in this snowy day, you have a place to go. You are rich by the world's standards. Yes, it's true that some of us in this room have more money than others. Yes, it's true that people out there have more money than we have. But all of us have our basic needs and many of our wants taken care of. And so we may not feel like it at times, but we are all truly rich. Now notice the verse goes on, and it doesn't say that it's wrong to be rich. Every once in a while I'll hear someone say to me, well, money is bad. To have money is bad. We need to give it all away. Well, they'll say things like money is the root of all evil. They'll coin that phrase. But really, that's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's an important difference. You see, as a rich person, all of us, you and me, we have to be careful in the way in which we approach money. God's rule is that we must control our money rather than letting our money control us. Money is not the enemy. Everybody say this with me. It's okay to have money. To have money. It's okay. God doesn't mind that we have money, as long as our money doesn't have us. So the first thing you should know about this verse is that God is talking to all of us when he says, command those who are rich. We are the people he's speaking to. We're the people he's talking to. And he's saying, when it comes to finances, you have got to master your money. Don't let it master you. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Pause there for a moment. Our enjoyment. God gives us good things in life for our enjoyment. Just as there is nothing wrong with enjoying life, there's nothing wrong with using your money to have things. God wants you to enjoy life, but get this. When God prospers your standard of living, he doesn't do that so that you can become selfish, but so that he can raise your standard of giving. Let me say that again. When God prospers your standard of living, he does so to raise your standard of giving. Jesus once said, you are more blessed when you give than when you receive. Real enjoyment is found in giving to others. In a devotion on blessing and giving, I found this. Rick Warren speaks to this. He says that there's almost nothing that God won't do for the person who really wants to help other people, who genuinely wants to help. In fact, God guarantees a blessing. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus says, I guarantee this. Anyone who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times more in this life and will receive eternal life in the next world to come. When you genuinely care about other people, the Bible says God assumes responsibility for your problems. And that's a real blessing, isn't it? You can certainly enjoy life more when God is handling your difficulties for you, right? When God prospers your standard of living, he does so to raise your standard of giving. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves. First, we identified that this passage is written for us today. Next, we see that once again, this theme that we've heard God say for the last 2 weeks, and now here in this third week, emphasizes the statement that God has wired you, he has wired me for high-definition living. Life is not supposed to be boring. It's not supposed to be humdrum. It is supposed to be exciting and enjoyed. And now we come to this statement that if you live according to God's plan, you will lay up a treasure for yourself. What does that mean? Lay up a treasure for yourself. There's only one other place in all of the Bible that I found this as I was studying. I read about this in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's the only other place this phrase comes. And so in these two verses, God is actually telling us to take what we have and to divide it into two accounts. You take what you've been given and divide it into two accounts. He says, number one, invest your money in what is temporary. He says, invest your money in what is temporary, a temporary account, your earthly account. Essentially, he's saying that's your savings. The money you put away, the money you invest in, the money you save here on earth. God says you should have a temporary savings in life. You're going to live a long life, hopefully. Money is important. It's going to take money to live. So you should take your money and you should use it in this temporary living that you have. But understand that this account is temporary. God also says there's another account, and this is your eternal account. This account is funded when you invest your money in things that are going to last forever. Things like people, when you give generously, and when you share what you have to bless others. Your eternal account is increased when you invest your money in significant acts for God's purposes. Again, in the Gospel of Luke, I would direct you to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus says, give away your life. Give away your life and you'll find life given back. But not merely just given back with bonus and with blessing. Essentially what that means is that we can never outgive God. The more you try to bless other people in the world around you, the more God says, I'm going to pour out blessings on you and your eternal account will be increased. The way you fill your temporary account is through savings. The way you fill your eternal account is through giving. So lay up treasures for yourself in heaven by giving. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. How you approach money in this life matters to God. We have to remember that God owns it all. Say that with me. God owns it all. God owns it all. It's all His. Every last cent, every breath we breathe, every color of the rainbow, it all belongs to Him. The highest of the mountains, the smallest grain of sand, it all belongs to Him. And God, because of the way He is, He entrusts you with some of His riches. He entrusts it to you. And He gives you the freedom to choose how to spend what you have. And God shares His blessing with you when you exercise good stewardship over what is in your possessions. High definition living means learning to put Jesus first and to keep learning about how we can be more generous today than we were yesterday. High definition living is trusting that God will show us how to take hold of life that is truly life as God has intended us to live. Amen. Let's pray. God, as the sun is coming through these windows and as we look out over this absolutely stunning picture of the snow that has come, we thank You for every good gift comes to us from You. We thank You for the gift of creation, for the gift of Your church and being here together. And so, Lord, we thank You that everything is Yours. Help us to see everything that we have as coming from You and to learn how to give according to Your word and to share what we have been given. We thank You, God, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.